to go about it, write it out and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for what I did well. And there's some stories I can tell you.
Like to put on a big total. We thought Travis Head and Manus Labuschagne both would get to double hundreds. It wasn't to be. Travis Head was tragically run out. He was not happy about it. But the West Indies were happy about leaving the field when Australia declared 511 runs for 7 wickets down. And then they came out, resistance from Tej Narayan Chandrapal, strange fields towards the end, but Australia have 4 wickets and they're well on top.
4 for 107 at the close, so they trail by 409. Chandrapal 47, the night watchman Phillips on 1. They lost Brathwaite for 19, Brooks for 8, Blackwood for 3, and Thomas for 4, all in the final session. The most impressive passage of play was where Michael Nisa started off and just bowled immaculately. And I mean, the guy who probably wouldn't have thought he'd be, I mean, realistically, was he going to play Test cricket this summer? I mean, it really was touch and go. Just getting interrogation about passages. it was touch and go whether he was going to play Test cricket ever again or be in the squad, because he kind of found himself lower down the pecking order after the win at Adelaide last year. Rightly or wrongly, called into the squad with Lance Morris. You could probably make a case that Morris plays ahead of him if you want to, but they go with Nisa when Hazelwood isn't fit, and he absolutely makes the most of this opportunity at the perfect time in his career arc, because they're going to be picking a squad for England.
Yeah,
I mean, not immediately, but he's had a good Shield season. Now, this performance tonight, that'll be the perfect reminder.
And did you see how I left Michael Nisa out of the 30-second review? That is to prove that I'm not biased. I'm not only going to focus on Michael Nisa, but you're absolutely right. I mean, once he got that pink ball in his hand, the West Indies started strong again. Craig Brathwaite and Tej Narayan Chandrapal survived that little period before the second break. And then they came out and once again looked pretty okay, even against Scott Boland, who we should talk about, the fact that he hasn't taken a wicket.
Yep.
Then Michael Nisa comes in and immediately starts beating the bat, just because he's bowling that much fuller, which is what you expect him to do. And then he gets the wicket. Beautiful piece of bowling to get Craig Brathwaite out. He should have had Sharma Brooks caught in goal. Almost grabbed that ball.
I was on commentary then. Had he got it would have broken the glass.
It would have. But then he just took a few more balls to get him out again. Sharma Brooks, beautiful outswinger, caught behind. And even when he came back for a second spell, he looked so much threatening. That was like so threatening.
So did Boland, none for 13 from 10. But with Nisa in tandem, I wonder whether they'll get the chance to bowl in England together next year. We're jumping forward a bit, but it's hard not to on nights like tonight. Stark was a little bit expensive, didn't quite get that ball coming back towards the right-handers, but I'm sure tomorrow he'll be better for the run. Nathan Lyon moved to 57 wickets at Adelaide Oval, caught and bowled early. That was Blackwood, the vice-captain, playing his 50th Test match for the Windies, but it does give Lyon a new little record. No one's ever taken more Test wickets than him here at an average of about 25 as well. He's been a superb bowler with the pink ball in day-night Test cricket over a long period of time since the very start.
Yeah, and I was thinking about it during one of the breaks, I think the tea break, actually this was the first break when Australia was still batting. And you know how Nathan Lyon always comes out to check the pitch wherever Australia are playing. That's the thing. Any innings break if Australia batting, as the players walk off, Nathan Lyon will walk in and he'll spend some time just studying the pitch. And to see him have a chat with Damien Hoff, his former employer. Does that happen anywhere else in the world where a Test cricketer goes and meets his former employer? This pitch has been very kind to him. And you could just see the amount of turn that even Roston Chase started getting towards the latter half of Australia's innings. You already started thinking about Nathan Lyon and what he would do. And as soon as he got the ball, that second ball he bowled today just spun that break. And he had that big smile on his face. You knew wickets were coming. But once again, credit to Tej Narayan Chandrapal. He was beaten a couple of times, but then he kind of got even more solid and he defended beautifully. He left well. There is something really special about this child. The child of Chandrapal, let's call him. And of course, there are some shots. That's about one shot that he just clips off his hips for a single. Let's just call it the Chandrapal. Yeah. I mean, they have to trademark it.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to keep this relatively brisk tonight because the press has started to lay off the play again. But Travis Head did come to the press conference. Yeah. He was great. Made 175. He was pretty, I guess you'd call him, at peace with the run out. He wasn't at peace when he was out, burnt by Green for 175. But let's celebrate the innings it was rather than fixating too much on the way that it came to an end. His high score Well, not his high school. He made 180.
No, this is his high school.
Jordan Burns. Joe Burns made 180 at Canberra. Sorry.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it was an important contribution. We talked about it a little bit on the podcast last night. He put on 297 with Labuschagne, which is the sixth highest partnership ever at Adelaide Oval. Those two enjoy batting together ever so much. Labuschagne was out against the flow of play, caught behind. Good take from the wicketkeeper, De Silva, from the bowling of Devon Thomas. He's been on real live wire in this test. He was out there facing Cameron Green later in the day as well. We'll come to that Hall of Fame, I suspect.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, the way in which Head just pretty much picked up from where he left off last night, it's a shame he didn't post 200, which he looked destined to do until he was run out.
Yeah, it's a very different Travis Head to the guy who won the player of the series last year during the Ashes, where he was taking a lot of risks. He was really taking on the English bowlers in conditions which favoured the bowlers a lot, except maybe Sydney. Everywhere else the ball was doing all sorts. But this time he's been more restrained, the two tests we've seen so far, but still played a lot of shots. We spoke a lot about his square cut, the ability to just use any amount of width and how he uses his hands and hit boundaries to the offside. But just the perfect tempo as well. He's not going too fast, but at the same time, he is scoring at a fair clip. And it looked like the run out, you know, it's a cliche to say it, but it looked like the run out was the only way he was going to get out. It's a pity he didn't get to a double hundred. It's not often you get an opportunity in Test cricket where you literally have the bowlers at your control. I mean, you are on top of them. You can score runs of them anywhere you want to, and then to be run out, obviously he was disappointed. But if he keeps batting like this, and the biggest takeaway from his press conference was his mindset, right?
Yeah.
He spoke about, I'm not someone who looks at what I did in the past or my away averages or whether I've got runs away from home or not. It's a form-based game. So if he feels that if he's in form and he carries this form into India, he's backing himself to score runs.
Yeah, it was a great answer because it kind of goes to the way he bats as well. When he trusts his eye, he backs his hands. The footwork's never going to be a big part of Travis Head's game, and he's probably been copying criticism about that from when he was a kid coming through the ranks here at Adelaide Oval, but he's at peace with what he's doing, and all the better for it. 275 runs already in the series, 99 last week and 175 today, maybe 100. Right? 274 runs for the series. He said 270.
Yeah, he did.
Where are we? To round out our conversation, we probably should talk about what's happening in Multan, where England have had another baseball day. Was it the first 7 wickets for a bloke on debut?
Yeah, 7 of 10. I know. Abrar, I mean, he's taken the world by storm. And I don't know whether you were listening to me on air with Jared. That old dramatic over of Cam Green where he went for 17 runs and got the Devon Thomas wicket. I was literally reading out Abrar's story that one of my former colleagues at the Indian Express had written. A beautiful profile if you can just get it or find it. It's a lovely story. And, I took me 7 minutes to, you know, literally narrate the whole thing out. And it took Cam Green 7 minutes to finish that over where he was hit for a lot of runs. Tej Narayan Chanderpaul was hooking everything. And Devon Thomas fell out in the first time.
Well, that might be our segue to our final word Hall of Fame for Woodstock Cricket. Woodstockcricket.co.uk. You'll see Josh De Silva using one of those beautiful Woodstock bats tomorrow. TFW20 is the code. It's all there in the show notes. Buy yourself a new bat in time for Christmas. Final word Hall of Fame for me is going to be the Cameron Green over where he conceded 17 runs in four legal balls,
yes.
With a couple of no balls in there on the way through. And on his seventh ball, his fifth legal delivery, Thomas chops on, as if it were foretold. And I think the second part of my Hall of Fame, and you might go to this, is Devon Thomas in the presser. You pick up that.
Yeah, I mean, he was just speaking about his bowling. Don't forget, he's still the reserve wicketkeeper of the side. And he said that I was actually bowling to the Australians in the nets when they were in Antigua in 2016. And we asked him if he got anyone out, and he said, yeah, the Aussies. What did he say? He said Nathan Lyon was my bunny, didn't he? Nathan Lyon. I had the wood over the Aussies, he said. And he also started talking about how he used to be a quicker bowler.
Yeah.
And he said, which I've never heard of Devon Thomas bowling quicker than medium pace, but he said I was a quicker bowler. A lot of them didn't want to face me in the nets. It was quite the press conference from the debutant.
Yeah, it's a good story. The fact that he made he was first in the Windy squad in 2010, the Test squad, as a reserve wicketkeeper. He's taken a one-day international wicket. Now he's taken 2 Test wickets, and he's still technically the reserve keeper, batting number 5, all at the age of 33 on Test debut. Great story, even if he doesn't play again. really one a week that he reflects back on the old pride.
And I did not expect to hear the names Mohammad Hafiz and Mayank Agarwal in an Australia West Indies press conference. But apparently those two have been the guys who Devon Thomas met through India A tours and playing in the CPL and T10, who have encouraged him, who've said that do not give up, because at one point he thought his test career his chances of playing test cricket were gone. But those two are the ones who kept inspiring him. And it just tells you, right, the cricket world is just getting smaller and smaller, and it's beautiful.
Baz, that's it from us, I reckon. Short one, a good one. Second day at Adelaide. Speak to you tomorrow.
Those two are the ones who kept inspiring him. And it just tells you, right? The cricket world is just getting smaller and smaller. And
Baz, that's it from us, I reckon. Short one, a good one. Second day at Adelaide.
My future question of my current senses. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty. Wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself.